So every year here at this church, we give our second and third graders and confirmation students new Bibles. A book that we believe has authority and can offer us answers and guide us on worldview questions such as, who is God? Who are we? And what are we to do with our lives because we follow Jesus Christ? Well, after reading today's text, I'm not sure giving Bibles to the young, learning impressionable minds is the best thing. I mean, did you hear what the text tells them to do in this passage? Let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Basically, sacrifice, loyalty, lose your life for me. Now, we've put this book, this Holy Scripture, into the hands mostly because we remember that we were given one, and we think they should and could probably learn something from it. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to read the Bible. But are we ready to let them read what's really in there and what it's going to teach them? Do we even know what's in there? I remember the first Bible I received in second grade. In fact, I still have it up in the attic with all of my young memorabilia. And for those of you who grew up in the church, you may remember receiving yours. On mine, there was this really nice, kind-looking Jesus on the front cover, holding a sheep, surrounded by a few docile, intently listening children. It was, you know, the regular blonde-haired and blue-eyed Jesus, the one that dominated so much of our Western Christian culture. The picture implies something about what we thought of Jesus and what we want our children to know about Jesus. He's like us. Gentle, loving, reserved. You know that Jesus, right? The one that we try to teach our children. It's the Jesus we pray to when we get pulled over for speeding. It's the Jesus we pray to when we need something or want an arbitrary situation to be different. You know, the regular first world problems. Our buddy, Jesus. The one who can only demand a little of us, but the one that we assume will be at our every beck and call. The Messiah, the Shepherd, the Savior, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace. These are peaceful, generous, and very true images of Christ. But not the only way we can understand Jesus. In fact, idolatrous if we only speak of this one. The Jesus that we usually consider and imagine is only a small piece of the story. Maybe we've made Jesus a little bit into what we want him to be instead of the God, the Holy Other, the Savior of the world that he is and the one that we find in today's scripture, rebuking Peter and telling his followers to follow his demands their entire lives, and can possibly even mean going to their death. Over the course of our lives of discipleship, of following Christ, we all try to understand exactly what we're supposed to be and do. But in doing so, perhaps we have made it more complicated than it needs to be. And like Peter in our story for today, we too don't like the explanation that Jesus offers of who he is and what will happen to him as we follow him. For the text says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. Jesus is going to suffer, be rejected, and die. And to follow him, we will lose our lives as well, but we will actually gain the real life that Christ offers. If you gain the entire world, with all its money and prestige, its fame and fashion, its popularity and power, that's not worth anything. For this world and what it gives to us is not the world that provides a sustaining future. What we will receive, however, is life, real life, the transformed life with Jesus Christ. So back to our second and third graders. We give them a Bible and we ask them to read it. And then they come across verses like today's and aren't prepared with what to do with it. Because we, like ourselves, in our ordinary day-to-day lives, have forgotten it's there. Or we know we need to do something about it differently, but we don't. We rationalize it in our own minds and we say, what Jesus really meant was just be a good person. Feed the poor, and then you die, and then you go to heaven. Is that really what he meant? Mark Twain once said, many people are bothered by those passages in the scriptures which they cannot understand, but as for me, I always noticed that the passages in scripture which trouble me most are those which I do understand. This is one of those passages that's so easy to understand, yet we do our darndest to try and avoid what it demands. We all are going to die, and we live our lives trying to forget, but we all are going to die. And in this text, Jesus gives us a way of life before we die that he promises will be more fulfilling than anything we can buy at the mall or find on a special vacation. Take up your cross, Jesus says, and follow me. Encounter the divine and the sacred things in the world and take some risks because of me. Go against the tide and find value in the transformed life in Christ, like making sure all of God's people have enough. Everyone has a place to belong and call home. Everyone is treated with the same love and compassion and generosity. Follow Jesus into the tough way of God's kingdom, which really isn't rough at all, but rather is rich with community, deep with love, and empowered with peace. It's more about others than about you. It's about discovering what matters to God, like serving and loving. That is taking up the cross. Jesus never said the yoke of following him wouldn't exist, but he did say that the burden would be light. It is not about gaining the whole world, but discovering how the promises of the future kingdom can be realized now, like hospitality and compassion. Again, Jesus says to all of us this day, take up your cross and follow me. This way is not easy, but it is the road that promises hope and breaks through the fake guarantees of safety and security that the world offer. So parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, teachers, and church family, take note of what you actually give your children when you give them a Bible. the power to transform that it holds and the life that it demands of those who read it. Let us make sure that we are ready for their questions when they ask what it means to take up their cross and to follow Jesus, and provide them with guidance and model a life that rests on the promises of a faithful God. Let us pray. Oh, Holy God, every week we enter your word, trusting that your Spirit is there to speak to us. May we be infused by your Spirit this day with passion, with motivation, with compassion for all of your children, that we may know and learn and seek to be as faithful to you as you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen.